This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
Buy or sell NFL stock edition. Michael, we're going to go through the winners of week one, and we're going to simply say whether we're buying stock in this team as far as being a successful football team for the rest of the year.
I bought the Broncos already.
I know. I'm not even going to ask you that because
stock is just going up.
It's a waste of time.
I've made so much money.
Only the winners. All right, here we go. Eagles beat the Cowboys. They are the Super Bowl. They are the defending Super Bowl champions. 24-20, though. Buy or sell Philadelphia Eagles stock. They beat a Cowboys team kind of close. And what a lot of people believe, the Cowboys are going to be pretty bad this year. Did their stock go down? Buy or sell Philadelphia?
I'll still buy Philadelphia.
Yeah. I think emotions get high on that. It's a Thursday night. It's just different. I'm still thinking the Eagles are going to be just fine. I'm buying that stock. Friday night in Brazil, the Chargers beat the Chiefs. Take your Broncos glasses off. Are we buying stock in the Los Angeles Chargers?
I'm buying stock in the Los Angeles Chargers being number two or three behind the Broncos.
Okay. So you're selling. You think they're going to finish third in the division? That means you're selling.
Two or three.
Give me a definitive two or three. Two or three. Give me one of those.
Pass.
Chargers are going. I'm buying Chargers stock. Absolutely. Broncos, yes. I'm buying stock. I'm not like going crazy, but they were supposed to win by 8.5, right? The spread was 8.5. They won by 8. So I'm buying Broncos stock there. Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Atlanta Falcons 23-20. Baker Mayfield wasn't great in this game. Your boy Michael Penix Jr. threw for almost 300 yards in this game, but the Buccaneers win. Buy or sell Buccaneers stock.
I mean, their division's terrible, so I'll buy the stock by default.
Yeah, I'm buying Tampa Bay stock. I'm kind of in on the Baker Mayfield revival in Tampa Bay.
He's not a bad quarterback.
Not bad.
Cleveland never should have gotten. How Cleveland of them?
Cleveland's
to get rid
dumb.
Of him?
That's dumb. Cincinnati beat Cleveland 17-16. That was a weird game because Mike, your stars in T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, I mean, between the two of them, 59 yards receiving, no touchdowns between the two of those guys. Can't think that that's going to happen again, right? That's a one-off, but Cincinnati wins barely. Buy or sell Bengals stock?
I sold my Bengals stock a long time ago.
I was high on this team. I would have bought some of that stock, but you barely beat the Browns? I think the Browns are going to be awful. And your stars weren't there, or they weren't shining. I'm selling Bengals stock. I'm selling Bengals stock. Although defensively, they should be happy they held a team under 20. But that was just for the week's purposes. That's where we feel. Stock up or down, trending. Colts over the Dolphins, 33-8. Are we buying some Colts stock?
We're buying some Colts stock, but we're keeping in mind that the Dolphins are probably
maybe the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, they're probably going to be the new Jaguars.
I mean, they were bad. They were just bad. But I'm buying Colts stock. I just hope it doesn't. I think the Colts might be a good team this year. I just hope they haven't realized that fully yet on Sunday.
I'm thinking that the Colts is still kind of a risky stock. This could be one of those, oh, Tennessee won 55-20 in the first week, and then they end up like 8.
Maybe. Raiders beat the Patriots 20-13. Geno Smith passed for 362 yards and a touchdown. And Pete Carroll, his first game as head coach of the Raiders. Buy or sell Raiders stock after beating the Patriots, which also might be one of the worst teams in the league.
I'm not really going to buy their stock because they beat a terrible team, and they're going to be number 4.
I'm selling it. I don't think the Raiders will be anything. I'm selling the Raiders.
Yeah, they're not going to be great.
No, I'm selling that, Mike.
If they might beat the Chargers or the Chiefs once each team, they're not going to be great.
No, I don't think so. Cardinals beat the Saints 20-13. Murray threw for 2 touchdowns to help them kind of hang on to that 20-13 win. I'm selling it. I don't believe in the Cardinals. Where are you at?
I believe that the Cardinals exist, but I'm not making any money off of them.
So you're selling. For nothing. Sold. Sold. Get them out of here. Steelers. Aaron Rodgers threw for 4 touchdown passes against his new old team in the New York Jets last week. 34-32. Sign me up. I would say the Jets might not be bad either. I'm curious to see how they do this weekend. The Steelers, Aaron Rodgers. I'm not one of those guys, oh, Aaron Rodgers is weird now. I'm not suddenly forgetting all my football knowledge. Aaron Rodgers is still very good. I don't care if you agree or disagree with some of the things he says or when he goes off into his cabin in the woods and does shrooms or whatever the hell he's doing. Aaron Rodgers is still a freaking good quarterback. I'm buying that stock.
I'm buying the stock in Mike Tomlin as opposed to Aaron Rodgers. I think Mike Tomlin can do a lot with any quarterback. Is he going to win a playoff game this year? To be determined, but I'll still buy stock.
It's going to work out there. Giants and Commanders. Commanders win 21-6. Jaden Daniels, 19-30, not amazing. He had 233 yards and a touchdown, but it wasn't like overwhelming. Fairly close game. They go up by the second score in the fourth quarter. Are we buying stock of the Commanders? They play tonight against the Green Bay Packers, and I am not going to answer that because I feel like that might give away any kind of pick. So I'm not going to answer the Commanders or the Packers right now. Not today.
I'm a little low on the Camardeers, so I'm going to sell this stock. Not going to sell a lot on the Camardeers, but...
Why Camardeers?
I don't know. I think it's a dumb name.
Yeah, I'm not... It's starting to kind of settle in now, but because I like the W, it's kind of cool.
Reminds me of Washington. Go Huskies.
Well, they are Washington. Panthers and Jaguars. Jaguars beat the Panthers 26-10. I can't buy Jaguar stock, man. That team does blah, nothing for me. So I'm selling.
Yeah, they're a crap coin.
49ers beat the Seahawks 17-13. Brock Purdy's hurt. He might be out for a while. I don't know.
Not a Purdy situation.
I don't think this... Well, and McCaffrey played, and he's listed as active, but he's already dealing with some injury stuff.
He's always hurt.
I'm selling the Niners, too. I'm selling the Niners, Mike.
Yeah, I'd sell the Niners as well.
All right, this is just for you only. Packers whooped up on the Detroit Lions. A Super Bowl favorite Detroit Lions. They beat them 27-13. Jordan Love was off to a great start. And then Micah Parsons got a sack with his new team. Buy or sell Green Bay Packers stock, Mike?
Oh, I'm buying Green Bay Packers stock. And I've been more of a fan, I think, of Jordan Love than most people. I think most people are like, Jordan Love, meh.
I'm still kind of just like, I'm kind of wait and see on Jordan Love. But who knows?
So you're not buying stock?
I don't know. Thursday Night Special's coming up in the next segment. I am so excited for this, by the way.
So you're gonna make me wait.
Yeah. You produced 2 cuts. 2 clips. So one of those goes in the trash can, and one of them we actually use. People probably think I'm an abusive kind of leader of this show because I make you do work that won't be used. But that's part of it, and I don't want you to get rusty. And I could change my mind at any minute. I'm high maintenance.
Oh, very.
So I make a pick in my mind before the segment, and if I'm feeling a different way, I changed that pick.
So I knew that you were going to change your pick. That's why I coughed so much.
Mm-hmm. The Rams beat the Texans 14-9. Why can't I get into the Rams? I mean, I like Sean McVay and all that stuff, but I'm selling Rams stock too. I feel like I'm getting more negative on these teams. I don't believe in a lot of these teams in the NFL right now.
Is their quarterback 40 yet?
Probably getting there.
Is his back still hurt? No, he
was good.
Okay, I'm not buying stock in either team right
now.
He's
listed as he's healthy, so should be fine. But Devontae Adams took a pretty bad hit in that game. So I don't know, Mike. Adams is listed as active, but that was a pretty significant hit. I'm not buying Rams stock today.
I don't think a lot of people other than Rams fans are buying Rams stock.
The Bills beat the Ravens 41-40. I think the Bills are the favorite, or the Ravens, to win the Super Bowl.
After the Broncos.
So I'm buying Bills stock. I'm buying Bison Bills stock.
I will buy the Bison stock as well.
Yeah, the Bison Bills, Josh Allen rallied 16 points in the last 4 minutes of that game. That was an amazing game.
Is there a place around here where you can get Bison Burger?
I think so.
I would like one.
Okay. Monday night, Vikings beat the Bears 27-24. J.J. McCarthy looked awful until he didn't. He rallied the Vikings in the fourth quarter, and they scored 21 points in the fourth to give them the win over Chi-Town.
I called the Vikings to beat the Bears off the air, but I called it.
It doesn't count.
You know.
No,
you were there?
I forgot.
No, I see your face.
Mm-mm, forgot.
You called the Bears.
I'm selling stock on the Vikings. I think the Bears are going to be bad. And the fact that the Vikings were, I mean, they scored 6 points through three quarters. I'm selling it.
I'm definitely going to sell as well because I don't think the Bears are going to be any good for a long time.
Dude, I think we only bought like a few teams, Mike. The Eagles, the Chargers,
of course, the
Broncos, the Buccaneers. And then we started the Colts. And then we started getting negative, dude. We got the Steelers on there, but pretty much negative. Just not a lot of first week, man. There's just a lot. There's some teams that I'm pretty certain are going to be fine, and there's other teams that I've got some pretty significant concerns about.
Yeah, and the first quarter hasn't been released yet. I don't know. I'm trying to make a money thing, but I'm my brain is coughing now, not just my lungs.
All right, you ready for this, Mike? Mr.
No.
Thursday night is about to go 2-0. This is going to be monumental. People are going to, once I go 2-0, that's when the world starts to, wait a second, what's that guy got going over there, man? 2-0 on Thursday night? Nobody does that.
I hope you pick Team A.
We got
because
the
there's
Cowboys.
Nothing for Team B.
We got the Cowboys to cover last week. That was the pick. This week, we look at the Green Bay Packers and the Washington Commanders. The Packers are 3.5-point dogs, or excuse me, 3.5-point favorites. Could be a tight game. Could be a very interesting game. I'm really excited about it, though. I'm looking forward to seeing both of these teams. You ready for it? Thursday night special. Coming up next, we'll take a short break here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Stay tuned to this. You're not going to want to miss this. Brian killed it last week. He said this one's better than last week. The intro to the greatest segment in the history of radio. That's what's coming up next. Can you believe that? You get to be a part of that, my friend.
I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. Last week, I heard it before it hit. This week, I have not heard it. The most important, influential segment in the history of all radio, probably just the history of all life.
That was this morning.
Is coming up next.
Like the legend of the Phoenix, all ends with beginnings.
Hear college football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Once it was a football picker, working hard at KFKA. The Harlequins go crazy, waiting for his pick on Thursday. Which team will be the winner? And which team will be feeling so low? Let's get this baby cooking. It's time now for the Thursday night show. There'll be Dolphins and Ravens and Packers and some Cowboys. It's time now to find out who wins the game tonight. Let's shout it, Mr. Thursday Night is coming. Mr. Thursday Night is here. Mr. Thursday Night is coming. Listen to Brady and find out who will win this Thursday night.
Oh.
Thursday night.
Yeah. That is good. That is well done. And a perfect intro into the big Thursday night pick. Mr. Thursday Night is back. It's time to get right with Thursday night. Thank you, Brian. Great work, as always. That was my favorite. I like that one better than last week. Hooligans, vote on that one. Last week's Metallica version or this week's funky music version?
I'm not a big fan of Wild Cherry, so I'm going with Metallica.
They're both pretty good. They're both pretty good. But the rightful setup for what promises to be another epic night in football. Because when it comes to Thursday night, nobody does it better. And we are looking at a colossal situation between the 1-0 Washington Commanders and the 1-0 Green Bay Packers. Last week, the Packers absolutely put the smackdown on the Detroit Lions. You had Jordan Love. You're high on Jordan Love. You're high on Love. I get that. 188 yards for him. Two touchdowns. Did what he needed to do. Josh Jacobs ran for 66 yards. Defensively, though, they were all over Detroit. I mean, they had four sacks in this game. Jared Goff had a rough go. He's 31-39, 225 yards, touchdown, interception, sacked four times. They couldn't get the run game going. And that's a huge problem for this Lions team. That's what I'm talking about with the Broncos, where they've got to have some of that rhythm, some of that to get Jared Goff going. And if they're not running well, if Jahmyr Gibbs is only running for 19 yards and Montgomery's only running for 25, scary situation for the Detroit Lions. But Jordan Love, what I liked about him last week, he was all over, spread out. So many different receivers were getting involved. And that's usually a great sign that your quarterback's on the right track. Meanwhile, the Commanders, they went up against the Giants. Russell Wilson was bad. 17 of 37. 168 yards. 59.3 rating. He was bad. No touchdowns. No interceptions. Sacked two times. Washington, on the other hand, Jaden Daniels. All right game. Not bad. They ran the ball well, though, between four running backs, really. With Kroski, Merritt. Jaden ran the ball well. From the quarterback position, almost 70 yards rushing for him. Austin Eckler, our guy, former Eaton Red, he was fine, 26 yards. I thought he was going to get more carries than six, but that might be a sign of the times going forward for Washington. Newly acquired Deebo Samuel, seven receptions for 77 yards, pretty good. Washington, I mean, it was 14-3 at the half. Giants made it a 14-6 game. It was 14-6 going into the fourth quarter. If you're Washington and you have, seriously, Super Bowl aspirations, you'd like to start out better from the get-go than to kind of, you pulled away with one more score late in the fourth. This is going to be interesting, though, because are the Packers for real? Did they catch the Lions on an off situation? Is Green Bay actually going to be a contender? They got Micah Parsons now, who was getting involved and got a sack. The Packers are three-point favorites, 3.5-point favorites. Let me double check here, Mike. They are 3-point favorites in tonight's game. Can Washington cover that? 3.5 is what ESPN has. 3.5, Brady. Somebody text me that. This way they said Brady just seems kind of mean.
the music faded, so we outlasted the music. Mike, do you know where I'm going with this?
I think you're picking the Broncos.
But why? Just stop. You sound like you're obsessed. Like, if people hear you, they're like, who is that creepy little guy that's always like, Broncos, Broncos? It's a little creepy, man. Have they put a restraining order against you yet? I mean, is that still active?
No, they just gave me my credentials for this week.
No, I would not be giving you credentials for this week. All right, here we go. Give me the Green Bay Packers to cover 3.5.
To all of these men, I want to say that football is not just a game, but a way of life.
See what he does this time. Love from the pocket to the end zone. And Kraft has it for a Green Bay touchdown.
Green Bay touchdowns. So it's going to happen.
Here he is.
Let's go, Pack. Let's go, Pack.
He's got a touchdown.
Not Pack 12. It's not until next year.
Reed. Packers on the board again.
Pass. Get used to hearing that. Not that. Well, that, maybe.
St. Brown, there was pressure from Parsons, then Evan Williams.
Micah Parsons, the other Micah.
To extending the record, now 9 consecutive games with a touchdown, Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs, man.
So the Packers
good
hold
back.
That
good
vaunted
back.
Lions offense
like
under
it. 250 like
yards.
It. Yeah. 2-0. Go, Pack, go. Let's get the dub. Well done, everybody. The entire Thursday night special production crew was on it today. Brian Gary, obviously what I did. Micah was sitting in the chair back there. 31 minutes after the hour. Mike, the Green Bay Packers are going to cover 3.5. You are welcome, Northern Colorado. You agree? You good with me? 2-0? We're rolling?
2-0. Packers are going to win outright.
Yeah. Yes. Well, they'll win outright, but are they going to cover 3.5? That's the question.
Yes, I don't know what that means, but I think they win by at least a touchdown.
Well, okay, that's it. Will they win by, if they're minus 3.5, that means they got to win by 4. So you just answered it. They got to.
I don't understand anything
about
gambling.
Doesn't matter. It's fine. It's good. Green Bay is going to get it done tonight. You're welcome, everybody. We're about to go 2-0. 32 minutes after the hour, the Kevin Lytle set to join me here in just a moment. He just got here, so he'll be in studio. And then we got Rams Weekly coming up at 2 o'clock. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Time was drifting, this rock got to roll.
It's a pretty big moment for you, Kevin. Pretty big moment. You're in the same room as the 1-0 Mr. Thursday Night. Hashtag
1-0 undefeated.
Undefeated. Yeah.
How's undefeated.
That, how's that feel to be in here? Gets in here.
I felt some type of special presence when I walked in. I didn't know it was that, though.
Home Decor Magazine called the Thursday Night Special the best sports radio segment in the history of the world. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. I didn't. Yeah. I missed that.
Yeah.
That edition,
well,
I guess.
I've got copies. I'll hook you up. Yeah.
Can you sign one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're already signed. you'll be ready to go. Liking the Packers to cover tonight against the Commanders.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3.5.
Yeah. That's not my thing, but yeah, I agree.
2-0. Sure. 2-0. Yeah. Micah didn't know about the Lions much either. Kevin, my friend, a lot to discuss with you. We got Rams Weekly coming up at 2 o'clock, presented by Miranda Simpson at State Farm Insurance. I just maintain the same feeling. I know a win's a win, whatever, but it felt like walking out of the stadium. I didn't stick around for the post game. I was exhausted. I was ready to just leave. And I'm like, you know what? Kevin's going to hook us up with all the information we need. So I'm walking amongst the fans out there as I'm going to the parking lot. And they were devastated, man. Rams fans were just hanging their head. They were down. Ones that don't really realize like who the teams are were kind of like, oh, that was exciting. But people that paid attention to the Bears and CSU, it felt kind of like a loss after that game. Now we're here on Thursday. At the end of the day, you're 1-1. But it was a rough weekend, even though you got the win.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the performance was bad. Jay Norvell even said that postgame. He was asked kind of what was sort of like what the emotions were as they're waiting on that review for the catch, no catch. And he said basically didn't. I don't know that I really had any. I was just mad at how we played all game,
yeah.
And that's what I was thinking. And so, yeah, they definitely didn't sugarcoat. You know, there's no, oh, you know, wow, you know, we won a close game. Great, great on us. It was an upset group that felt, yeah, not a good performance, which obviously is true. So, yeah, kind of weird. You know, talked to Norvell again Wednesday. That's the one availability during a bye week. And said, you know, what I did tell guys is we got the benefit of a game where there's a lot to learn from, but without a loss. So, yeah. You know, that's fair. A close win doesn't hurt your season. You know, this isn't – it's not basketball. You're not playing for your net ranking. I think that's, I guess, the best thing for CSU. They won.
Yeah, five turnovers. I guess six if you want to count the turnover on downs.
Yeah, I mean,
two.
Five turnovers, a turnover on downs, a missed field goal, long list of, you know, errors, I guess.
It was – I mean, I didn't even recognize that team. It did not look like
it was weird.
Up or down, whatever, for Jay Norvell and his time with CSU. Is that the worst you've ever seen CSU perform under Jay Norvell?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that first year, there were some pretty grim games. But honestly, you can kind of dismiss those because, you know, you're trying to fix an absolute dumpster fire. But especially, you know, I mean, this is disrespect to UNC because all credit to the Bears. They played awesome. But, you know, that's a team. You should be able to outman. Yeah. And it was just like a sleepwalk, especially the first half for CSU.
Yeah, it was wild. I've already asked you, you know, the catch thing, and you kind of thought maybe it wasn't a catch, but not enough to overturn it.
Yeah, my feeling is, you know, your sort of vibe of watching it, the ball's certainly moving around at times. You can't really tell clearly if it gets to the ground. And also, it is allowed to touch the ground, but you have to have control. I haven't seen a replay that suggests clear and obvious, what blah, 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 whatever terms they use these days to overturn it. I would have thought calling the field would stand. Certainly a tough one for UNC. Even Jay Norvell said, you know, we're probably lucky. Not necessarily about the catch. He didn't really address the catch specifically, but certainly with how the game went, fortunate to leave with a win for CSU. It's annoying that we still don't know what a catch is in football,
at
either the college football or NFL level. You know, there are obviously people yelling conspiracy, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, there are a billion examples of not knowing what a catch is in football, and this is just the latest.
Well, what was the officiating crew? Is this a Mountain West crew?
Yeah,
it's
a Mountain West crew.
And Kevin, I guess I go to this. Why would the Mountain West want to do any favors for CSU?
So, yeah, you know, I do my post-game mailbag, and that was one of the questions of, like, you know, basically, obviously some snark, but how much did the Mountain West pay to make sure the refs turn that to CSU? I said, well, the CSU is suing the Mountain West while leaving the Mountain West. I think the Mountain West would have been plenty happy to see UNC win that game.
100%.
So, yeah, I don't think the Mountain West was calling up the refs during the review being like, hey, guys, let's make sure to give the Rams a little favor here. They're our good friends. So, yeah. The Mountain West, and again, those don't generally happen. The line I always use is don't assume malice when incompetence is the likely answer. And that's usually the case with refereeing.
Yeah.
College football refereeing.
I'm kind of there,
not
too.
Not to be mean to them, but.
As we, you know, fade away from that game a little bit more, too, I had no dog in the fight.
Yeah,
I had maybe two dogs in the fight, if you want to put it that way, because I root for both of these teams. I went to UNC, but I've certainly talked more CSU over the years. I also am more of a fan of FBS football than I am FCS football, so I want to see local FBS football teams go well and be in the conversation stuff. I watch the Bears. I don't watch a lot of out-of-market FCS, so that's part of why my fandom has shifted a little toward CSU. But it was one of those games where I was pretty bummed out for UNC of how it went down. But then as I watched replay and replay over and over and over again, let me just go to social media after Saturday, more people were kind of like split down the middle.
Yeah.
So for the official to say it did look like it touched the ground and that's where we're going with it, maybe it wasn't conclusive enough, but it is what it is. It's an unfortunate situation. If I were the referee, I would have said it was complete, but they didn't. And that's not the first or last time we will have something like that come down.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, just watch any weekend of college football or just football generally, and you'll see a lot of controversial catches where one way or another you'll look and say, well, how'd they get that answer? Yeah. And it's because it's inconsistent, basically.
So BFN was pretty bad in this game, Kevin. And I'm always careful with this. These are they're not kids. They're young men. But I try not to evaluate them the same way we do NFL quarterbacks. I'm not one of those guys that likes to throw out sucks and he's ass or that kind of thing. But I can definitely acknowledge that that was the worst start to finish game I've ever seen from BFN.
Yeah, I mean, I would maybe say his first start as a freshman when Millen was hurt at Nevada overall was not very good, but kind of coincidentally, like UNC, led a game-winning drive at the end. So he has that in his bag of kind of the moxie to pull one out late. But yeah, I mean, it's not personal attack. It's a football commentary. He was not good.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no two ways around, especially early. I forget the stat line at halftime was like 3 for 9 for 40-something yards and an interception and a fumble or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't have it in front of me, but it was bad. There were missed throws early. It just looked uncomfortable, I guess. Uncertain maybe is a better word. Maybe a little lost on confidence. I really, it's hard. You don't want to get in his head or, put words, so to speak, in his mouth. But, yeah, it didn't look like a third-year starter. It looked like someone a little uncomfortable with what was in front of them.
And, Kevin, you reported earlier this week that now we are seeing Jackson Brousseau get some actual reps with the ones, and is it feel like it's 50-50 at this point, or is it still BFN's job to lose? How does that go down?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I was curious what Norvell would say publicly, and he came straight out. I asked him, I said, one, as he watched the film, what's been wrong with the passing game? And he kind of reiterated what he said post-game of Braden's fundamentals, technique. He needs to start better early, missed some reads, had some bad footwork. He said, we're going back to base fundamentals, which that to me is a little alarming for a third-year starter. And then I asked, do you expect to continue with him, or are you looking at change? And he said, we're looking at everything. JB, which is Jackson Brousseau, the backup, is getting reps with the ones. So is Braden. So it looks like it. And we saw some, there's some split reps there. I think it's real competition. I'm not sure which way it's going to go right now, to be honest. I'm not sure if they know.
It's never good, though. And I made this comparison earlier in the week when we heard in Boulder they're likely going to go with their third-string quarterback in Staub. And, okay, good for Staub, but that wasn't plan A or plan B. So all offseason, these were the plans, and now suddenly you're going with this guy. I get that happens. But to me, initially, it's never like a good thing. For same situation for CSU. When BFN was clearly the plan for the last couple years now, and now suddenly 2 weeks in, we're talking about making a change.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's weirdly reminiscent of when BFN took the job, because Jay's first year was all Clay Millen. Again, that was rough, but that was kind of expected. It was a full rebuild. And then all spring and preseason was, Clay Millen's guy, Clay Millen, he's so far along. And then after 1 week, you get by a weird week two by why that exists. I don't know, but that's a different story. BFN takes a job, and basically there hasn't been competition since until now. So it's very, very interesting. I guess you can look at a couple ways. One, exactly that, if this has been the plan so long, how's it gone so awry so quickly? I guess the other hand, you could say, well, willingness to admit a mistake and move on. You could also say maybe this should have been open competition earlier. A lot of different ways you can go with that, I suppose. But it's going to be very fascinating. I'm going to be very interested to see publicly how Jay Norvell plays it next week heading into UTSA.
Yeah, and I want to get into more of that in great detail because, Kevin, you were the guy that opened us up to this story. You and Jay Norvell talked, and that you started this. You and Jay started
the blame game. Yeah, thanks, Brady.
With the whole, hey, people are poaching our quarterback and all this stuff, and then he doubled down and mentioned K-State and the money.
It's so ironic because their quarterback's not playing very well either.
I want to get into all
that
too.
That's maybe a different story.
Yeah, it's fascinating, though. 48 minutes after the hour. We have Kevin Lytle in studio. We'll get to what did we learn next. Rams Weekly coming up, presented by State Farm, Marinda Simpson coming up, and we can dive into all of this. So if you have questions about the game that was, the bye week, quarterback Jay Norvell. Text us at 888-530-0043. We'll be right back.
Don't sweat it, NoCo. With cooler temperatures upon us, that only means more red-hot takes on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies and formerly voice of the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
I can actually turn to a friend in this segment because we have Kevin Lytle in here. What did you learn today, Kevin? Anything interesting?
No.
Michael?
It's a bye week.
Sounds about like Michael's response every day.
Yeah.
Michael, what did you learn, my friend?
I don't know. It's a bye week.
All right.
Well, I learned
that Brady is worldwide famous for his Thursday night special. That's
kitchen and counters and cabinets. Man, that's they've got me on the cover. I think they're thinking about putting
beer
me on the cover.
Boy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they want to wait to the mid-September issue. That's the big one, obviously.
That's when it's on everybody's mind. Yeah.
I think that's a swimsuit edition.
We're going to go... Why? Why did your brain go there? That's weird. Maybe for
I thought it'd be funny.
Conversation later on. I learned from Kevin we might have a quarterback battle going on in Fort Collins. I love the Green Bay Packers to cover tonight. Bo Nix is going to be fine. I'm not stressing about it. And Boulder has quarterbacks. That's the theme of this area. Bo Nix. CU's got one. CSU. UNC's quarterback went down 2 weeks ago in Peter Castelli. 1:55 the time. Rams Weekly coming up next. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.